Spring training is underway, and the Dodgers did not miss a beat. They are beating the Padres, who have about, there's a video going around, the Padres having at least 50 dudes in their dugout. I don't know what's going on there, but it's not helping them as they gave up 8 runs to the Dodgers in the first inning. The game is on in here, and Chris and I went through about 2 to 3 segments and realized that they were still in the first inning. So the Dodgers are off to a hot start, even though there are some big bats and big arms that have not been signed yet. Snell has not signed. Montgomery is not signed. Bellinger is not signed. Martinez is not signed. Pham is not signed. Matt Chapman has not signed. Adam Duvall, former Giant, has not signed. 4 of those guys, or a couple of those guys on the list, are Scott Boras clients. And I think what we're seeing here, Chris, is basically teams are saying, we're just not going to pay this type of money anymore. Right. And really, the argument was it's not the years, because teams like the years with these large amounts of money because it's lower AAV each season. Mm-hmm. Right. The salary is lower each season. But apparently all of these guys have something. There is something off with all of this. And every time you say something about the Giants the way that I do, I'm going to be at a ton of River Cats games this season. But every time you say something about the Giants, everybody says, Matt Chapman, why did you sign him? Bellinger, why did you sign him? Blake Snell. To me, I think now everybody is wondering, well, what's wrong with these guys, or what's wrong with this situation? Is it Boras? Who is it? Because if no one else is signing them, are there any offers? It's a really bizarre situation.
It's so strange.
And I think this might be a breaking point. You know, what was it? The Big Short? Right when the market crashed, this might be a similar situation to where all these guys are right on that line of, we like you, but we're not going to overpay. And clearly, nobody else is willing to overpay either.
Yeah, and this is definitely more your expertise, so I'm going to ask you some, like, with the Bellinger thing specifically, and I know we talked about him earlier, but is this just a matter of, you think, like, Cody Bellinger had a great season last year. I think he won Comeback Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants to be paid off of that Cody Bellinger, and I'm assuming not the guy who didn't, two seasons ago hit under 200 and hit, you know, like, barely any home runs. And I know he's had some injury history in the past, but is that really what this is kind of coming down to? And with a lot of these guys, is more just they're trying to get every single dollar worth of what Boras feels like their value is, and they're not willing to budge at all, even a penny.
not yet. And like we said, games are going on right now, and nobody on that side is willing. Neither side is willing to say uncle. And teams are thinking, hey man, if you were worth that money, you'd be signed already. So they're the players are going to break first. The players are going to break first. And I don't know. I think that if you have a complete stud, nothing is going to change. But these more fringe guys, you might see a change in the market there. And how this kind of connects to the NBA is, this is what you're hoping for with the NBA. I think that you could make the argument that the fact that, besides a couple teams and those really high tier players like OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, yes, the Raptors got what they wanted for those dudes, but everybody that tier under, nothing happened because, hey, we don't, it's the same with the Deshaun Watson thing. Hey, okay, you want Dorian Finney-Smith, whoever it is, 2 first-rounders?
Yeah, that's
all right? Ridiculous. It's not happening.
Yeah.
It's not happening. So I think that it's possible that the league, maybe unspoken, because there's no collusion or anything like that, but unspoken, whether it's in baseball or NBA, they will come together and just say, well, it doesn't seem like anybody else is moving, so we're not going to move either.
Right.
That the Shohei thing, the Shohei, the guys that signed, those were just kind of outliers.
Yeah.
And all of these dudes, hey, you guys want too much. You just want too much.
Interesting. And in general, is there an erosion of like the middle class of baseball? Is that it too? Where it's like, yeah, these guys have.
Well, erosion in that we feel like we can find your production somewhere else.
Right.
Much cheaper. That's the thing. In baseball, I mean, there's a lot of money to be given out, but you're either not paying dudes really anything.
Exactly. That's right? What it seems
or you're
like.
Paying them top dollar.
Yeah, crazy, $30 million.
So unless you are in that upper tier, why am I going to pay you anything close to what I can get from some dude who just came out, you know what I mean,
right.
from AAA or AA or anything like that. So I know it's different. I know there's much more player control or player power in the NBA, but I do think it remains if you do come together, and we'll see when these guys sign, that market can change a little bit. One thing that I also wanted to bring up is that, you know, I hate using the word fair in life, right? You know, your parents didn't use fair a lot, or they tell you life won't be fair. One thing I saw was that you have players for the Giants and for all teams, right? And what I'm hearing is that this Chapman thing, it could happen. The Bob Melvin.
Yeah, how much of that do you feel like is real? Because we've been hearing like months now.
I think it's real. I think it's about the dollars.
Right.
Chapman's a guy who you're not getting paid Oakland A's Chapman money. That's not what's going to happen.
Right.
So you have Casey Schmidt and other guys that have been working out at third base.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody say that they didn't think it was fair. And again, this is not Alan Stiles. This is just me reading through Giants social media. They didn't think it was fair that these free agents have waited so long or that teams haven't signed them, that there's no deadline, because somebody could be preparing, especially how baseball is. It's so bizarre with all the different levels and leagues. Casey Schmidt or whoever it is could be preparing for third base, and then the Giants sign. He could be at third base during a spring training game. The Giants sign Matt Chapman, and you're cooked, right? Your career
your
is
outlook,
looking completely
yeah, everything,
completely
right.
different. I read that. It was interesting to me, but ultimately,
like you said, not fair. I mean, it's not fair, but like you're trying to win baseball games. Right?
So
like,
what would be the point of Major League Baseball putting a deadline? You put a deadline, and then it would help the players.
Right, yeah, because
teams are obvious, because the teams can just wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, the thing is, it's just no other league has done it from my knowledge. Like, I don't think anybody has like a hard deadline on, especially not NFL, not basketball. I'm trying to think if there's any, like, I know, you know, in soccer, there's transfer deadlines. Like, there's only certain months in which you can make your transactions, but I don't know. I mean, it's definitely interesting. And it feels like spring training feels like it should be the deadline, at least for like this caliber of player. I feel like, and my question to you would be, at what point is this a detriment to the players? At what point is Scott Boras almost like holding out to, like, he feels like he's doing his job, but at what point is he doing his job too much and he's actually hurting the players themselves?
That's where we're at now.
Is it now? Yeah.
That's where we're at now. Ryan Williams art on the Sack Chat. This is the owners coming together to say they've had enough of Boras's stuff. Overpriced and overhyped isn't a strategy for building contenders. Durability and consistency will determine value now.
So that's also something that I was kind of focused on from this thing, and I wasn't sure if I was correct to connect those dots. But the one thing that this A's relocation saga has definitely solidified in me is that owner, especially MLB owners, That's a good old boys club.
Yes.
Like, that is, those guys are thick as thieves, and they're looking out for each other, hoping that they're going to, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours when you need it.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of this is, you can use the term collusion, I guess, like how much of this is the owners coming together and making a stance and just saying, no, we're not doing this. We're just not doing this. And in every other league, I feel like if owners are taking that much power.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty scary for a lot of fans of that sport. I don't know if baseball really feels that same kind of thing.
Well, I think I wouldn't call it scary because it's with a specific agent.
Sure.
And
okay.
Boras is trying to play with Looney Tune money, Monopoly money
right.
here. You cannot pass go and collect 200. That's what the owners are saying now.
Mm-hmm.
We got plenty of money to pay your guys.
Right.
But there's a line, and I feel like it's just them pushing the line back to say, all right, enough is enough here,
right.
And we're not going to stand for it.
It's a lot of guys, too. That's the thing. It's like, it'd be one thing if it's like one or two, but like the amount of guys that it seems like he's holding out, it's just, it's insane. And like, yeah, I mean, the Giants, I've seen a couple articles where it's like the Giants should honestly try and get in on, I think they're calling them the Boris Four.
The Boris
like,
Four, yeah.
You should just, can you offer like, I think the Morris twins negotiated a contract together, obviously, tongue-in-cheek here, you can't do that, but like, could you almost say like, yeah, we'll pay your guys, you know, all 3 to 4 years and, you know, a combined $400 million, I don't know what the number
whatever,
would be.
Whatever, just get it done. Yeah, the Snell thing is really weird for me, but again, we're not seeing any of this stuff come out. I just know that.
The crazy thing is, too, the Giants have been tagged to like 3 or 4 of these guys, too.
They're going to get one. I think it's probably going to be Chapman. And you know, we were talking before the show how, yeah, the Dodgers, who talk about monopoly money, they're in another stratosphere. But besides that, the Giants have actually spent the most money this offseason. For all the Giants fans out there that feel like they haven't done enough, and I had people responding to me saying, well, it doesn't matter because the Dodgers are in your division. Well, you can't really go for broke just because.
Just give up then, right?
Right, right.
Just stop playing.
So you just. I understand what you're saying, but you also have to understand that two of those deals that are driving that crazy number from the Dodgers, those were the two biggest free agents. That's who the Dodgers got. If you take it with those two guys, it's not as ridiculous. And look, the Dodgers have historically always had a better lineup than the Giants, and the Dodgers, all they have is that Mickey Mouse championship throughout this whole time.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole time. So I think myself and Giants fans are more so willing to take chances moving forward. It's not what you want, and it's not a finished product, but hey, to spend the second most amount of money this offseason when all we do is complain about Farhan and not spending money, you know, you just got to take your wins. It's called tiny victories, and that is a victory that I am willing to take. Coming up next, we will discuss the Spurs, everything about Popovich to Wembanyama, and more. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Greg Popovich, you talk about timelines a lot, and Greg Popovich, you know, Chris, it didn't really feel like that timeline made a lot of sense, but he is a great, right? Oh, yeah. And you get an opportunity to play or to coach another all-timer, right? Or a future all-timer is what we think Wembanyama could be. How do you think this whole thing ends, though, with Popovich and Wembanyama? How long do you think he coaches? Do you think he gets to see the finished product? Could be here sooner than you think, or a version of the finished product as he starts to peak. But I'm just not really sure that this is going to match up, and it's not just Wembanyama. You need other pieces. That's why I think we were maybe a little bit surprised that they did nothing at the trade deadline, not for this season, but moving forward. And I guess you could say or ask the question, you know, San Antonio, pretty cool. I've never been, but I heard it's, you know, they got the Riverwalk, and then after the Riverwalk, you know.
Literally, Alamo, I think, is over there.
Is Wembanyama, they were connected to Trae Young, is Wembanyama the type of guy, similar to your boy in Indiana, that people would sign up for as far as free agency and go, I get to play with Popovich and Wembanyama and no taxes, no state taxes.
Sounds pretty chill.
I mean, it feels like.
Yes, the Wembanyaya.
Wembanyaya. Well, what do you think about Popovich in the timeline?
It's interesting. I just looked it up. How old do you think Greg Popovich is? And just like, because
74.
I just for context, what, Bill Belichick is 71, I think. Saban and
they're all 72. Pete Carroll were 72. Like,
okay. Greg Popovich is 75. He's 75 years old, and it's just like, I mean, is he going to be coaching when he's 80? Like, I have a tough time seeing in the year 20,
I can't
whatever
see
that would be, 2029. I just don't think we're going to have an 80-year-old basketball coach. I just have a tough time seeing it. And so he'll probably do, I mean, next year, it seems like. This would be a really weird, like, just swan song for him to have. I know LeBron said the other day, I might just Tim Duncan it, but I don't think Greg Popovich would Tim Duncan it. I think he kind of understands what he means to the NBA, and I would hope he would kind of give himself that graceful exit. So it's a long way of saying, I would say like 3 years. I would say probably 3 years, or 2 more years after this. And then I feel like, you know, it'll probably be at the start of like the Spurs starting to make some noise, if you will.
Yeah. And look, we talk about Keegan Murray in that third year leap. What the heck is Wembanyama's third year leap going to look like? So maybe maybe 80 is the limit, and maybe he gives him a good five. Yeah. And depending on what happens in the offseason, if it's very obvious, and we're going to right now just kind of connect this back to the Kings and Malik Monk.
Yep.
Right. If you get a Malik Monk and you get a Trae Young and you get some guys in there.
You're starting to build one hell of a 2K team, man.
Right. And now you're 2 years down the road, and now you're messing with the playoff spot. Right. You have a Wembanyama who is now 3 years into the league. I can see Popovich saying, I'll stop at 80. I got 2 years of him being in the playoffs to see where he goes.
Yeah.
And then becoming an advisor and still getting a ring when Wembanyama wins one.
Right, exactly.
That's the path.
I think, honestly, it's just a matter of how much Pop can deal with it. Like, it's a lot. It's a long season, and I can only imagine as you get older and, you know, the gap between your age and then, you know, some of your youngest rookies might be literally like a 60-year age gap. That's kind of a lot. And then just the day-to-day grind of it all. I'm sure he's going to start to pass, if he hasn't already started passing off responsibilities to his assistants. But, I mean, the answer is he'll be there as long as he wants to be there. Like, I don't think it's going to be a Bill Belichick situation where if the Spurs, I mean, maybe if they don't figure it out with Wemby, if it's like two more losing seasons, maybe you could ask to move on. But, he's still a great. I'm excited to hear Mike Brown in his pregame press conference. He spent his first years as a coach in San Antonio, so he always has great words about Pop and always has just great stories. And I think Pop is one of those people who, just like we talk about NFL coaching trees all the time, but just Pop's tree in general of guys he's coached and who have became coaches or just became legends, everybody has great things to say about him. So I think he's just a guy who's going to be in that job as long as he wants, because he is the model for what you would want in a modern NBA coach.
I have no clue, because I'm obviously not in the Spurs organization, but I don't know, man. It feels like Popovich, is he really coaching at this point? He has some really funny quotes where he says, "We stink. We just turn the ball over," whatever. If you gave, I'm going to steal your term here. If you gave the Spurs organization truth serum.
Yeah.
If your name ain't Wembanyama, and I'd love to have a Spurs player on, Sohan, whoever it is. If your name ain't Wembanyama, does anybody
how
in
much
the organization?
Coaching are you?
I mean, we're talking about Major League Baseball and the minor leagues, and they'll say, and this is why I've always been, even as somebody who didn't get the call, I've always been of the mindset to cut down all those draft rounds, because you're selling these kids a dream and you're not giving them enough money to sustain a true life, right? They use these kids to get their big boys ready. And it feels like the Spurs just needed a roster to get Wembanyama ready for the next 2 years until
Buddy, you're going to have the ball in your hands a lot. We're going to start it early.
Yeah, so maybe just get to this offseason, get some guys in there. But it feels like, all right, how many do we need on the roster to just give Wembanyama the ball?
Yeah.
And maybe subconsciously they actually made a joke about Sohan during the All-Star about not getting him the ball. I think it was Bajewski. It was Bajewski. And then at another scene, Wembanyama goes to throw. Did you see this? A full court shot. And
the dumbest thing
Sohan
I've ever seen.
Blocks Wembanyama from the back, which, not to freak out any Spurs, you know, double agents listening here, but that was kind of close to a Brock Purdy situation.
Yes, very close.
What are you doing, brother?
Yeah, not when you got all those limbs and he's not strong at all. It's like,
what are you doing?
His arm in half.
So I think they just needed to find 14 other dudes to put on the roster, and I think Popovich is really just there to work with Wembanyama and Tim Duncan and whoever to get him ready. I do not really think this guy is coming out
And I think he's been doing it so long, it's like riding a bike in game.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah. is Popovich staying up late at night to figure out, oh my goodness, how do we make Trey Jones a better player?
Right. No, I don't think he is. I don't think so. Yeah, he's probably passed a good amount of the work off, like the really hard work off to assistants. And you're probably right. Like, he probably is focusing a lot on Wemby because he fully understands, if I'm even going to be here for, I'm not going to be here 5 years from now if Wemby doesn't end up being great. If Wemby doesn't be great, I'm going to want to leave. The Spurs are going to want me to leave. And Wemby will probably want me to leave too. So he's definitely focusing a lot on Wemby. But the funny thing is, you mentioned the Spurs just kind of ragtag their roster together. It's honestly like the worst roster possible to play with Wemby.
Right.
They have no point guards, and that's been the problem all year long.
Well, they got Trey Jones. They've been playing him more.
That's it. That is literally it. I mean, they were running Jeremy Sochan as their point guard to start the year, and it's just like it's a crime to not just in his first season run Wemby pick and rolls until he can't anymore. Like, that's exactly what he should be doing, and he should be having a point guard who's only thinking about, how do I set up Wemby? How do I get a lob to Wemby? Oh, if I just throw this up, I bet Wemby will get it. They don't have anyone thinking about him like that, and that's where you mentioned Malik, you mentioned Trae Young. Like, the Spurs are going to be one of five or six teams who have cap space this offseason. I love the thought. Sacramento fandom aside or whatever, I love the thought of Malik Monk playing next to Wemby, because I see this fool throwing lobs to JaVale McGee.
Right. He's in the top three, I think, for pick and roll efficiency.
Yep.
And he's doing that with Sabonis sometimes because he doesn't start. Yep. JaVale McGee and Alex Len. Can you imagine that man with Wembanyama? And then they say, okay,
and
let's sell out.
Too.
Right. Let's sell out on Wemby, and Malik hits you with that hum diddly, and he makes the shot and goes up the three up, three down. Come on, man.
That's a problem.
I don't want to see it. No. I want to see Malik stay, but these are real possibilities.
I think that's best for Malik's career too, because again, like, Malik's a young dude. He's still got a lot of time to kind of grow into his own. He gets that starting spot in San Antonio. Plus then every national TV game that you're just going to get because of Wemby, people are going to say, wow, this guy Malik Monk really is something, whether he's scoring
and
or setting
pop.
Up Wemby.
You get pop too.
You're in San Antonio, you're in Texas, so you get all the benefits of all those tax benefits and all that stuff. Sounds like a really good, and again, this is why the Kings, I really hope they're confident that they can sign Malik Monk, because there's going to be some teams out there that are, you know, they might not, you know, record-wise or situation, like in terms of, you know, De'Aaron's a good friend of Malik and Trey Lyles and all the relationships he's cultivated here. All that's fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, a starting spot next to a generational talent with a all-time coach in Texas, that's a lot of stuff to try and turn down just because you like the basketball situation a little bit better here. And it's not just San Antonio. There's Orlando, which you kind of have the same tax benefits that you would have in Texas. And then, you know, you still probably get a little bit of starter power as well. Not as much star power, but yeah, I mean, there's going to be some other suitors out there. So I hope the Kings feel very confident in their standing with Malik.
Well, you're going to have to bag him out.
And it's going to have to be some playoff success too, right?
That's
where
right.
Maybe, honestly, the Kings need playoff success more than anything is to show Malik, like, this is a situation worth staying.
And not just that, okay? Again, going into next season, the Spurs are going to get better.
That's another team
that you have to worry about. And the Grizzlies are doing the Warriors thing to where they're going to sink this year, hopefully get a top pick, and then be back in the mix.
Yep.
You cannot, if you are not getting better, you are getting worse. When we get back, prop talk, first prop talk for the last third of the season and the first dog segment for the last third of the season. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. It is time for some prop talk and the dog segment. Now, with Domantas Sabonis being upgraded to questionable, which at this point now I'm assuming that he is going to play because it seems like he's getting better, not worse. That could change some things. So let's see how we're feeling here. Chris Watkins, you can lead it off if you want.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm just looking at Wemby numbers. You know, I'm actually shocked to find that Wemby is averaging 20 and 10 already, and then you factor in, I believe he's leading the NBA in blocks per game, somewhere near 2.5, if I'm not mistaken. Right now his points is set for 23.5. That seems pretty high. 10.5 rebounds. I'm thinking about maybe the under there just because we've seen Sabonis just murder people on the boards.
And but here's my thing. You just, it's just a video game. Sabonis, you don't think he drops at all due to, he's still sick.
Right. He could. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's definitely the risk of it. Like how much he'll even play too. Even if Sabonis right. does play, is it going to be 30 minutes? It's a bit sketchy for sure to try and bank on that. I'll probably look at De'Aaron. I think I'll go with De'Aaron. I don't know what his points are at here. Let me see. He actually doesn't have any points listed right now. So
I'm seeing 25.5.
I'll take that then. I'll take the De'Aaron over 25.5. Just again, he had 43 last time they played San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Played really well to exit the All-Star break. Had some rest. He's now acknowledged his shoulder injury. Not that that has anything to do with it. Just wanted mm-hmm. to throw that in there. And yeah, I'm going to take De'Aaron over 25.5.
Okay, Simone.
I like it.
Who you got?
What does it say for you guys? I'm seeing 23 for Victor.
That's I saw 23.5
okay.
for Victor.
23.5? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Give me the under for the French phenom, ooh, please.
Wow. Okay.
Shutting it down.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, I am of the mindset that you know, the sickness is a real thing.
Sure.
and I just can't see him being exactly the same Sabonis.
Sure, as effective.
So right. because of that, I'm going with Kevin Huerter okay. over 4.5 rebounds. I think that Kevin is going to be cleaning the glass today.
You crack me up.
What is so funny?
You just wait for Nate to leave, man. That's what? It. You just the oh, second you know Nate's
what?
Not
oh,
in here.
You know
tell
what?
Me the tea. What's the tea?
No, Nate just
no,
doesn't.
No, but
we
you
just,
know what?
We just don't allow Allen to pick Kevin Huerter because every time he picks
but
Kevin
these aren't
Huerter,
points.
It doesn't work.
But these aren't points, though.
They're rebs.
These are rebounds. It's
okay.
different.
Okay.
No, we'll fine. I'll do
no,
something
no, no,
else.
No, you're fine. You're oh, fine.
Don't it's be just, bullied.
Fine. And honestly, it was dog segment. I could not pick him for the dog.
Gotcha.
That's what it was. So yeah, yeah. Kevin Huerter, 4.5 rebounds over. You have De'Aaron Fox and the points over 25.5. And Wembanyama, 23.5 under points. That is from Simone. Let's get into the dog segment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while. It's been
sure
a long
has.
Time. I shouldn't have left you. Well, I'm not going to pick Kevin Huerter for the dog because I know how you've been treating me lately.
No, yeah.
I'm actually going to go with Keegan Murray. And I feel like I've kind of been doing the same thing with Keegan Murray. As far as picking him and him not really doing too much yet.
Yep.
But one of these days, he's got another big baller game coming up. And I think it's going to be tonight.
I like it. You know what? I'm gonna stay with the forwards. I'm going to go with HB. Yes, I forgot about that. We looked at how the Kings performed last year without Sabonis. Not that Sabonis isn't going to go tonight, but on the off chance that he's even limited, like you said, even if he's playing, doesn't mean he's not sick or not still feeling the effects of said sickness. HB is the guy to step up. We talked about his numbers yesterday, more so getting to the free throw line.
Yeah.
But yeah, looking at the numbers last year, HB did step up a good amount of times when Sabonis wasn't going. And you know, after a long break, I'm hoping HB feels refreshed and ready to go. We saw what he did game one of this season. Let's hope that he can replicate that performance game one outside of the All-Star break. I'll say 20 points for HB.
For woo! HB?
For H Bizzle. H Bizzle will be in the hizzle.
Well, I got Keegan over 20. Simone?
You know, I was going to go with Mr. Monk, but I had a change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is for all the Trey Bays out there.
Okay.
It's going to be a big Trey Bay night.
Yeah.
Definitely going to go on the over. And I'm thinking 11 hot ones from that
really?
Young man tonight.
You know, that's
going to be an absolute menace.
The show has basically come full circle because we talked about the Kings running that small ball five with Sabonis being out. Even if he's limited at all, and the idea of, oh, let's just put another big man because there's Wembanyama, maybe you're better off with Trey to get a little physical with him down low.
Exactly.
And push him off of his spot. So Simone has Trey Bay and the Trey Bays, Trey Lyles doing his thing. So I got Keegan over 20, Chris with HB over 20, and Trey Lyles. Ultimately, these guys just got to win. You got to win.
That's really all that matters.
You honestly. Have to.
You just got
to
take care of business, and it doesn't matter how it gets done. Doesn't matter who's the best player.
Does it? Well, hold on. No. It doesn't matter how it gets done.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, kind of. You win by an inch or a mile.
That now, and we're gonna be on the show tomorrow, and you're gonna say, you know, I wish they would have just taken care of business.
I wish they would. I absolutely wish they would. I wish they would win by 20 so that they could make this four-game stretch after a whole lot easier. But at the end of the day, beggars can't be choosers, and I will take a win over a hard-fought loss in this situation.
No more moral victories in the last 28 games.
It's got to be a really good moral.
Yes.
You got to learn some really good things.
It's not going to be against the Spurs. Yeah.
It's funny you say that. I was kind of feeling an overtime. That's kind of like my...
No,
like,
come on, Simone. Why would...
Simone.
I know I'm not supposed to say that, but come on.
We got stuff to do.
You just manifested it.
I know.
We have stuff to do.
Yeah, for real. We have a show tomorrow.
We got to drive.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. I honestly can't. I honestly can't imagine that, and I'm not going to imagine that.
Oh, my God.
This is not
going
to happen.
Now it's going to happen.
No, it's
going
not.
To happen.
No,
now,
it won't. It won't.
Actually,
it
already
De'Aaron's dropping. De'Aaron's dropping a 50 burger.
This is going to be so cool. You guys are going to go tonight. I'm watching my puppy, so I won't be able to see him, but this is going to be so cool to see Wemby.
I would like to.
I'm excited.
Somebody is saying I have to redo my picture with Cam Newton.
Stop it.
But with Wembanyama, Chris is leaving. He took his headphones off. But with Wembanyama, my goal is to just keep getting further and further away from the camera with different people. That's the goal. Final thoughts.
Be like, is this a fisheye lens?
We have to make that happen. We have to make that happen.
Well, now it's not Radio Row. I can't, you know, we can't ask for pictures anymore. These guys got a game to play.
Oh, it's just going to be blurred out in the background.
Who is that? Is that actually you? We can't see you. How's the weather down there?
That's a guy from Chicago.
Oh, wow. What's Kevin Atwater doing with Wemby? Aren't they filming?
Oh, my gosh. Is Donald Glover in that new Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
I love his new show. I love Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Final thoughts on the first half, favorite game, favorite moment, and we revisit expectations for the rest of the season when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. You have 28 more games to decide the rest of your season for the Sacramento Kings. After one of the most exciting seasons in the history of the Kings, you come back, you run it back with the same guys in a stacked Western Conference, and you have an opportunity. But how it ends, that remains to be seen. Before we give our final thoughts on how we think this season's going to end, and by the way, I like to call myself out. I sat here in this chair at the beginning of the season. I thought the Kings were going to be a top three seed. We can do all this when the season's officially over. But, yeah, I thought they were going to be a top three seed. So I was wrong there. But the good thing is you get another chance to be right in the second half. I'm looking, Chris, at all of the games, and it's hard to pick one. If you could pick one from the first two-thirds of the season as your favorite, just your favorite game.
That's interesting.
Not the most impressive, anything like that. I think mine is pretty simple. Mine is pretty straightforward. It would be the Kings beating the Warriors to get into the in-season knockout. Being down 20.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. Off the top of my head, that's probably my favorite game. My favorite moment was the Malik Monk dunk against the Suns, where I was caught on camera with our guy Scott and my wife, and we were caught on camera with in our amazing seats. So that's my favorite moment from the first two-thirds of the season, and that was my favorite game.
Those are two really, really strong choices. I think I'm going to go my favorite game. It might have been – it feels wrong to do a road game. I'm thinking that Minnesota one right after Thanksgiving. I just remember, you know, the day after, just kind of watching it and being like, I cannot believe that this team is playing this well against these guys right now. I think I'm probably actually going to go with the I was just looking at it. Where'd it go? Oh, man, I lost it.
Cavs?
It was not the Cavs. Oh, man. Sorry. I can't remember. I'm just going to go with that Minnesota game.
Yeah.
I'll go with that Minnesota game. It was really, really fun. It was on the road. Oh, Keegan Murray. That's what it was. But that was going to be my favorite moment.
Yes.
Was that Jazz game. Keegan scoring. What did it end up being? Was it
47?
That's what I
something
thought.
Something like that. Yeah.
47 sounds right. But that game from Keegan Murray, that was the only game I've been to this year, or really in the past couple years as a fan as well. So that was just a really incredible moment, obviously, for Keegan, but selfishly for myself, too, to just kind of be a part of the crowd as Keegan was going crazy, as he just kept hitting three after three after three. What was it? 10 straight in a row?
Yeah.
That to me, was the moment of the season for sure. And, hopefully there's another version of that, because we really haven't seen – I mean, he had a 30-point game, I think, since then, but we really haven't seen, like, a massive Keegan Murray explosion like that.
It's tonight. It's tonight.
That's
and if
right.
It's not tonight. If it's not tonight, it's the next night. Or the next night.
The next
or
night.
The next night.
Oh, Orlando Magic was the other game I was going to shout
was
out.
That was a great game. That was a great. That one, I wanted to pick that one.
I was going to say that for you.
Yeah, yes. I was going to pick that one. But, you know, Simone and her obsession with overtime, I figured that she would pick it herself. So we would take care of that. Simone, any favorite moments from the first part of the season?
This one was really back in the day. Do you guys remember it was back in October, that Lakers game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. You're talking about the one in Sacramento or the one in L.A.?
Is the one here in Sac.
Okay, yeah. There's the one in – when Fox was injured,
yes,
when Fox got injured in
that's
that one.
Right.
Oh, again,
wasn't
surprise,
that
surprise, that was overtime. Simone picked it up.
Simone's got a type.
Simone loves a good overtime game because she's at home, not stuck in traffic as we're trying to get back. You know,
that Lakers game was great, too.
That Lakers game was outstanding.
I have great taste.
And that was off the heels of losing to the Warriors, and that could have got a little bit dicey just to start the season. I also have the Laker game that was on national television. We were watching it at Sac Yard, and we were enjoying ourselves. And to watch the Kings do that, that honestly, that's actually pretty high up there for me, because that was what we go to the game so often as I'm trying to become a Sacramentan and be a part of the culture and go to the different food spots and things like that. That was really my first time watching the game out and not at a game and not at the game or, you know, at home or whatever. So to be amongst my fellow peeps, right? And for them to do it against the Lakers, national television, and really the announcers were a bit stunned. They didn't know what was happening.
No, they had just prepped all Lakers stuff.
All Lakers stuff. And yeah, so that was honorable mention for me as well, as we get in now to the second part of our predictions, right? All right, the first one is out the window a little bit. I guess you could still, your final prediction of how it ends could still be in the running depending on what it is, but as far as where they're finishing, don't see the Kings getting a top three seed, so I am out on that. How do you see this thing ending?
If I had to put my stamp on it, I would say, I mean, right now it's definitely trending towards a first-round exit. I would say 6 or 7 games, but I think I'm leaning more towards 6. And, you know, I think it's gonna hurt, man. Like, no matter what, if they lose in the first round, there's going to be a large, loud majority of people that are going to say, what a failed season. This is what happens when you run it back. I just hope that kind of the things we were talking about earlier end up happening and are things that we can point to. Because if the Kings do lose in the first round and, you know, some of those, you know, De'Aaron Fox not really establishing himself as a solidified shooter, or Keegan Murray not figuring out defense and offense in the same game, like, if those things don't happen and they lose in the first round, it's going to be tough to try and over summer try and, I mean, talk people down. And because, you know, frankly, I mean, it's going to be a tough playoff matchup no matter who they go against. So I just feel like right now, yeah, first round exit, and I think it's going to be scrappy, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to leave people wanting more.
Yeah, and it's really just what it's been this whole season as far as expectations. You don't have to get out of the first round for it to not be a failure or regress or whatever, but how it ends matters.
Sure, right.
If it's just, man,
yeah,
they went up against the T-Wolves or they went up against whoever, and they just, it was a really great matchup, but the Kings just didn't have enough. We know, and where they didn't have enough was where we expected them to not have enough.
Right.
You know, no offense, but, you know, HB or Kevin Herter, right, or wherever, or Keegan gets a little bit cold because he's been chasing around Anthony, yeah, Edwards. That is cool.
Yeah.
If it's Sabonis doesn't show up,
yeah,
De'Aaron Fox doesn't show up,
yeah, that's like the Clippers just run them four straight,
that's a
games
problem
or something. Yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be the second round, but it does matter how it ends, if it ends. So you got a first round exit.
Yeah.
So you'd have to get in. You'd have to win the play-in.
I think they're going
to
win the play-in. If I had to guess, I think they'll probably lose the first play-in game and then win in the very last one.
Because they would get
one.
It in Sacramento.
That would then be an 8 seed as well.
So then you would get, as of right now, the T-Wolves, which T-Wolves, at least you got to win against the T-Wolves.
Right, exactly. And that's not a terrible match. Like, I think OKC and the T-Wolves, I wouldn't be completely shocked if the
and
Kings pulled off an upset.
And you're not the only one. And that's why I was surprised with the whole LeBron ankle thing.
Yeah.
But I think just like we talked about earlier in the show, the Warriors, the Lakers are thinking, I mean, and how many times will we have to hear prognosticators and everyone say, well, I mean, it's a 7 seed, but Steph and the unproven,
yes,
Thunder,
right,
I think I got Steph. Yeah. Well, it's LeBron.
LeBron and AD.
LeBron, right, and AD against the T-Wolves. I, yep, mean, I do like Cat, but you know what I mean? So I think that everybody is just feeling, and I think that's a separate chip that the T-Wolves and the Thunder could,
yeah,
have on,
sure,
on their shoulders. But I think everybody is feeling, hey, this isn't the worst thing in the world for this new blood, yeah, to be at the top,
yeah,
because we feel like we have a chance.
And that chip is probably a little bit smaller going against the Kings, right? Like, it's kind of tough for OKC to say, oh, the big bad Kings.
Exactly.
Everybody's picking the Kings. It's like,
yes, because nobody
really?
I don't think anybody would pick the Kings.
Right, exactly.
I think everybody would pick your boy Shea,
absolutely,
and his cool outfits.
Absolutely.
And Karl-Anthony Towns and his 14, yep, voices and podcasts. And that's who they would go with. Okay, so you got first round out. Yep. I'm going to stick to what I said at the start. And I'm going to say that somehow, some way, they get to the second round.
Wow.
I had them top three and,
yeah,
losing in the second round. Even though I was wrong on that one, I'm going to try to bat 500 and and have the Kings getting to the second round.
Yep.
No clue how that happens. It probably won't happen if they continue to be the worst free throw shooting team in the league. But assuming they turn that around, I think the Kings would be able to get it done.
It all starts tonight.
Simone?
It's tough. It's really tough.
It's not easy.
I'm going to go with my heart, though. I am feeling the number 6. For some reason, I feel like we could get up there.
You can get the 6 seed.
Yeah.
But then what happens?
Another heartbreaking first.
Both of you?
Exit. Yeah.
Both of you.
I just think they're going to run into some barbed wire somewhere. Mm. Someone's going to really cause fits for them, and it's just going to be an insurmountable mountain for them.
Well, I hope that's not the case. But ultimately, whether they get to the second round, that's more of just a mental thing, and it would feel good for the city of Sacramento versus it really changing what happens in the offseason. It's not really going to change what happens in the offseason. And we know one thing that's also not going to change. This 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. slot, we will be back tomorrow to continue to talk Kings and to react to whatever happens tonight against Wembanyama and the Spurs, whether or not Sabonis plays, and to see what De'Aaron Fox and the crew have in store. The Drive guys are up next as they get you ready for the game. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Thank you to Simone. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli. And until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam. Sacramento, Sacramento, where you at?